Picture this, guys. Actually, before I say that, go grab a Bible. There's some Bibles over here. We moved them around so that it's easier to access for, or accept, get for you guys. I guess I'll say that better than access, because I can't speak this morning.
I know.
It's one of those mornings. Grab a Bible. Turn to 1 Samuel 25. I'll give you a hint. 1 Samuel is before 2 Samuel.
What?
Whoa! I'll give you another hint. It's after Genesis.
I'll give you another hint. It's page 213.
Oh, okay, there you go.
What chapter is it?
25. 1 Samuel 25. My voice is going a little bit, going out a little bit. I'm just getting over a cold a little bit, so I'm not contagious. I'm doing a lot better, but please bear with my voice because it's really like a little, it feels a little scratchy. Anyway, 1 Samuel 25. 1 Samuel 25, page 213 apparently. So, picture this. You and your friends go to help out an acquaintance. Let's say you help them move. You go over to their house, you start packing up all their stuff, taking care of all their stuff, making sure nothing is harmed, everything is wrapped up and put into the right box. You load it all up on the truck. You worked for hours.
We did yesterday.
I know you did. That's kind of what brought it to my mind. But you make sure everything was safe and secure. Okay, let's just say you help Andres move. Just because Andres brought this up. You know, after a while, you start working. If you work for a long time, you start to get a little hungry, don't you? You start to build up this appetite. You want food. Hopefully, when you help people move, they offer pizza. They offer to take you out to McDonald's because it's really cheap. They offer you some kind of sustenance because you slaved away for hours. But this friend or this acquaintance is different. Andres decides not to do that. You go up to him and say, dude, very casually, very nicely, you go up to him and be like, hey, Andres, we've been working for you for hours. We made sure all your stuff was safe, everything was secure and on the truck. Can we get a little bit of lunch? Yeah. Now, imagine if Andres was like, food? You want food? Why should I give you food? You haven't done anything. There's still so much to do. Why should I give you out of what I make, out of what I have? Why should I give you anything? In fact, I don't even remember asking you to help me out. I don't even know who you are. So you're stupid for asking me for food, and I don't ever want to see your stupid face again. And he slams the door. How would you feel?
Jeremy, tell me how you feel.
It hurts.
How do you respond?
I would walk away.
Many of us would be offended. Marley would just walk away. She'd probably cry down the road because that's.
I would just walk in and then come back in.
Many of us would be offended, right? We'd be like, no! Oh, no, you didn't! I can't believe you treated me this way. Who do you think you are for treating me after I do all this for you? What gives you the right to treat me like that? Our pride can often get in the way. This is some of our own problems. We get so offended, so hurt, that we act like this. Can you pull up that first video?
I challenge you to a duel.
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen this one.
Oh.
Sometimes. Sometimes, can I get the lights again? Can you get the lights? Sometimes when we get insulted by a light slap on the face, we want to do something bigger, something better to get them back. So we grab the gauntlet, smack them upside the head because that's what they deserve, right?
Yep, Jeremy.
But Jesus asks us to think differently. Jesus wants us to act differently. Matthew 5 says this, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." Instead of grabbing that gauntlet and smacking him upside the head, give him the other cheek to smack. If someone insults you, take it. And continue to love that person. Jesus wants us to respond with humility. So, turn to 1 Samuel 25. We're going to look at three different characters. We're going to look at David. We're going to look at Nabal. And we're going to look at Abigail. David. This was very early on in the life of David. What do we know about David as a young boy? He was a shepherd. Okay. He slayed Goliath. Yeah, he killed Goliath. Anything else?
Saul was trying to kill him.
Saul was trying to kill him. David, as a reward for killing Goliath, David married the daughter of the king, Michal. He was highly praised in all of Israel. Saul kills his thousands, but David kills his tens of thousands. David is much better than the king. Everyone knows who David is. And it says at the beginning of 1 Samuel 25 that David is chilling in the wilderness. That's Jim's translation of the Bible. Chilling in the wilderness with his mighty men. He's hiding from Saul. And it also introduces Nabal. Nabal was, according to this, he was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep, 1,000 goats, pretty well off, right? But it said that he was harsh and very badly behaved. He had some business in Carmel and decided to shear his goats, or shear his sheep, getting the wool. I guess you don't really shear goats, do you? Shear the sheep, getting the wool so that you can make more money. David hears about this and he goes to talk to Nabal. Mind you, he's harsh and very badly behaved. The last person that we are introduced to is Abigail, who the Bible describes as discerning and beautiful. Keep that in mind. 1 Samuel 25 starts off by introducing these characters, and then David goes up and sends some men to go see Nabal. He goes up, the men go to see Nabal and says, "Nabal, you're such a great guy. Peace be with you. You're awesome. Thank you so much for your help in the wilderness. We want to ask a favor from you. You see, when your shepherds were with us, we protected them. We made sure that nothing was stolen, nothing was taken away. We helped you. Do you think you could do a favor for us? We need some food. And I know that you're about to have a huge harvest. Could you help us out with a little bit of food so we can feed our guys? We scratched your back. Could you scratch ours?" There's the premise. Nabal responds. Now remember, Nabal is a harsh and badly behaved man. That's what the Bible says. David asks, "Hey," like his men come up and say, "David, the son of Jesse." And and Nabal responds, "Who?" And it's something like this. Let's see if I can load up that video. Lights.
Man, I was just check this out. You don't look like a jumper. You're wearing rabbit's paw.
It's not just an outfit, man. Ninja Turtle, you better stop poking me.
What is your name?
My name is Peter Quill, okay? Dude, chill out.
Move!
Why?
Roman may have questions for you.
Hey, you know what? There's another name you might know me by.
Star-Lord. Who?
Star-Lord, man. Legendary outlaw. Guys?
Move!
All right.
I
forget
this. All right.
All
right.
You just
had to make that reference.
What's that?
You just had to make that reference.
I did. I'm a nerd. I had to make that reference. Who? Who is the son of? Who's the son of Jesse? Who is this David? Who? But as I said before, David was like the popular guy. Saul kills his thousands, but David kills his tens of thousands. He married the daughter of the king. If there was a Hebrew People magazine, he would be on the front cover. 100 Hottest Hebrews, yes. But Nabal doesn't acknowledge this. In fact, he insults David. He says, why should I give him anything? There's people who are leaving their masters. Maybe this son of Jesse is one of those guys. Maybe he's not really who he says he is. And Nabal insults David. Let's pick up in verse 13 and see how David responds. 1 Samuel 25, verse 13. Actually, verse 12. So David's young men turned away and came back and told him all this, that Nabal had insulted him, that Nabal had said no, that Nabal wasn't going to help David out. Verse 13. And David said to his men, every man strap on his sword, and every man of them strapped on his sword. David also strapped on his sword, and about 400 men went up with David, while 200 men stayed behind with the baggage. David was mad. 400 men to take out one. David was upset. Oh no, you didn't! Oh no! Let's go, guys, let's go and let's take out this guy who just insulted me to my face! Do we ever respond like that? David starts down this road with vengeance in his heart. He wants to get back at Nabal. As I was preparing this lesson and watching a couple episodes on Fresh Off the Boat, have you guys ever seen that show?
Yes.
I think it's so funny. But I was reminded of me as a junior higher, as a teenager. You know, I was never really fully popular. I guess you guys could have guessed that. I was always made fun of for something. Whether it was my high water pants or my crazy curly hair, I was always made fun of. And usually, it could roll off my back. I could just be like, all right, they made fun of me. But sometimes they took it too far. Sometimes they pushed me over the edge. Sometimes I was just like, no, that's enough. For example, one time during computer class, in class, some guy started talking about my mom. You just don't do that, right? You just don't talk about someone's mom. So it was just like one of those moments where this guy just bucked me so much that it sent me over the edge, and I came up and smacked him in the back of the head. Just full out punched him in the head. I got suspended for like 3 days or something, but hey. One time, some guys were putting staples in my bike tire, flattening my tire, because they hated me. And so I heard about it. I started running from the blacktop to the bike racks, running. That same guy that punched the back of the head started pushing me. What are you doing, Jim? What are you doing? I just like, I couldn't take it anymore. Smack, smack, smack!
You are a star.
And I got to the bike rack. I heard he cried afterwards, but I'm not sure about that.
What grade is this?
This was in 8th grade. 7th or 8th grade, something like that. When I was in high school, I played water polo. And there was this guy, his name was Kevin, and he just bugged me all weekend. And some of you guys are going to really hate me for this, but his brother went to Cal. And he was wearing a Cal hat. He was so proud of this Cal hat. We stayed in a motel, and he really bugged me. He just pushed me over the edge, and I took my toothpaste and put it all over his Cal hat.
Congratulations.
Oh, he was so mad at me. You got into such a fight. Mike, Mark, I'm sorry. You have to forgive. Please forgive me.
No.
Even recently. Even recently. I know this sounds like me. Like I don't want it to sound like I'm completely better because I still struggle with this. But at winter camp, some boys pranked me. And I just wasn't.
That wasn't me.
It wasn't. I know it wasn't you.
See?
It was one of those things that just pushed me the wrong way at that moment. I took some leaders with me, and I was like, "Let's go, let's go, let's take care of these boys. Let's talk to them."
This happened this year.
And I talked with them, and we discussed it. And
you didn't discuss it. You broke down the door.
He got all
butter.
You did
actually.
I did.
He got all butter.
But it's not like I went in cracking skulls. We talked it through. And I was really tempted. I told them I was going to be like, I'm going to prank you guys back. I'm totally going to get you guys back.
We would have gotten you back, though.
I know.
What was the prank?
They stole my sodas. Which is stupid, right? But it was one of those small pranks that pushed me over the edge. I don't know why. It was just one of those things. Now, I don't say this to encourage you to go out and hit people in the back of the head. I don't say this to encourage you to go prank people. I'm just telling you that some of the stuff that I struggle with, and maybe some of you guys can relate. When something irks us so much that it pushes us over, our reaction is to go and handle business. Take care of business. But Matthew 5 says to turn the other cheek. But how? This week I was reading through Galatians 5 in our intern class. We've been studying this. And Galatians 5 talks about two kinds of works, the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. It says in Galatians 5 that the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Works of the flesh. Things that take us away from God. Things that when we're on our own, we resort to. When we rely on our own strength, we go towards these things. Paul says there's one way to counteract this. Verse 16. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Walk by the Spirit, which is where Abigail comes in. Let's jump back in the story. Some of the guys that heard the people from David went to go talk to Abigail. Abigail was Nabal's wife. Abigail, as the Bible said, was discerning and beautiful. So these guys came to Abigail and told her what was going on. That Nabal was being foolish, and that something needed to be done because David was coming to lay the smack down. So what did Abigail do? She grabbed food. She grabbed gifts. She wanted to apologize and ask for forgiveness for her stupid husband. And she went out to meet with David. Verses 23. Can I have a volunteer to read verse 23 through 31? You want to do it, Anders? Go for it. 1 Samuel 25, 23 through 31. Read it out loud for everyone.
1 Samuel 25, 23 through 31.
And Saul and his men went to seek him, and David was told.
I don't think that's it.
No.
25, verse 25. Oh, no. Chapter 25.
Oh, okay.
Verse what?
Chapter
25,
verse 23.
That was the wrong chapter. When Abigail saw David, she hurried and got down from the donkey and fell before David on her face and bowed to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, "Oh, me alone, my lord, be the guilt. Be my guilt. Please let your servant speak in your ears and hear the words of your servant. Let now my lord regard his worthless fellow, Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is for him. But I, your servant, did not see the young man of my lord whom you sent. Now, then, my lord, as the Lord lives, and as my soul lives, because the Lord has restrained you from the blood guilt and from saving with your own hand. Now then, let your enemies and those who seek do evil to my lord be as Nabal. And now let his presents that your servant has brought to my lord to be given to the young men who follow my lord. Please forgive the trespass of your servant, for the Lord will certainly make my lord a sure house. Because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil shall not be found in you as long as you live. If men rise up to pursue you and to seek your life, the life of the Lord shall be bound in the bundle of living, in the care of the Lord your God. And the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the hollow of a sling. And then the Lord has done to my Lord according to all the good and that he has spoken concerning you, and has appointed your prince over Israel. How long?
Till 31. One more.
My lord shall have no cause of grief or pangs of consequences for having shed blood without cause or for the Lord working salvation himself. And the Lord has dwelt well with my lord and remember your spirit.
Awesome. So when Abigail got to David, she bowed down. She sought forgiveness for her foolish husband. But on top of that, she reminded David of the Lord. When you're faced with an argument like that, you cannot argue against that. David was ready to go out and kill everyone in Nabal's household. And Abigail fell on her face and said, "Remember the Lord. Remember what he's done for you. Remember that he promised to make your house secure." In verse 28, verse 29, "Remember that God says that he'll take care of your enemies, that he will fight for you." Verse 30, "Remember that God has a plan for you." Basically, she was saying, "Remember, David, remember the Lord and walk by the Spirit." Abigail was walking by the Spirit. Abigail was following God's call when she pointed David back to God. Back to Galatians 5. Paul's talking about what walking the Spirit would look like. What walking in humility would look like. Galatians 5 says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If we're following the Lord, if we're listening to Him, and if we're walking by the Spirit, these fruits are things that God brings to our life. If we rely on ourselves, it talks about the works of the flesh, and we produce things that are nasty and gross and bad. But if we follow the Lord and humbly walk with Him, it brings love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I don't know about you. Maybe you've never been so angry with someone that you wanted to kill them. But what happens if a classmate or a coworker is talking trash about you? And you really, really, really want to get revenge on them. Or if a teacher disrespected you in class, and now you can do nothing but hold a grudge against them. Maybe some guy talked about your mom, and you really wanted to punch them in the back of the head. Whatever the temptation may be, God wants us always to look to Him before we act out in our own pride. I'm going to close with this. There's a verse that has always stuck with me. It's a song that I grew up with, and I never really understood what it said, but it's one of those songs that plays in the back of your head forever and ever and ever. It's called Micah 6:8, and conveniently, it's based on the verse, Micah 6:8, which says this: He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. To do justice, what does God require of you? Do justice, do what is right. Love kindness, treat other people well. And to walk humbly with your God. Walk by the Spirit. Guys, this month we're talking about, or these next couple weeks, we're talking about humility. There are two examples that you saw today. One of David and Nabal, and one of Abigail. Which one are you going to choose? Let's pray. Father, sometimes it's so hard to just stop and listen to you. Sometimes it's so easy just to get so upset and go want to do things on our own. But God, I pray that you help us to trust you, to lean on your strength, and to walk with you, God. Help us to walk by faith. God, we need you every day in our lives. Thank you so much. In your name I pray. Amen.